We're so glad that you are here with us today as we are in a series called Our Anchor of Hope. We introduced a new song last week called Anchor of Hope, and we sang it again today. I hope that you recognized and sympathized with the words there and that it ministered to you more than just music, but a great, great message. When I think about anchors, I think about boats. Now, I've never owned a boat. Never have, not even so much as a rowboat. Never owned a boat, even though I grew up around Lake Erie. But from what I've been told, by not having a boat, I have missed out on the two happiest days of any man's life. The day you buy a boat and the day you sell it. I've heard that by many guys, so I missed out on those happy days. So not only a boat, I also don't have a wealth of nautical knowledge. I do know, though, a few things. That if I wanted to have a boat and I wanted to launch a boat, be it a canoe or a yacht, I'd want to have some things with me. I'm not the greatest of swimmers, so I'd want a life jacket. I'd want one. I'd also want something to move the boat through the water as well, whether paddles or oars, a sail or motor. And I'd also want something to keep it from moving when I didn't want it to move. Like what? Well, mooring ropes, perhaps, to tie it to the dock, and a suitable anchor whenever I was in open water to keep it from moving off course. It's a bit of a parody of life, I think. We can often find ourselves drifting, if we're not careful, from shore or being swept off course due to prevailing winds in our culture. As God's children, if we're not secured to the dock of sound doctrine, for instance, we could really get off course and be duped into believing a lot of lies instead of the truth. We could be overwhelmed by severe storms in life, too, without an anchor. Great grief, deep disappointment, persistent pain, horrible hurt, waves of worry. Christians are not immune from such things. But we're not without an anchor to keep us from capsizing in crisis, from crashing into the rocks or running aground in our life. We have an anchor. Here's what the Hebrew writer has to say on that subject, matter of fact, from Hebrews chapter 6. You can open your Bibles there if you'd like. The New International Version will be on the screen for you. It says there that men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what's said, putting an end to all argument. Yet, because God wanted to make his unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. If this anchor of hope enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where Jesus, who went before us, has endured on our behalf, then we have this, see, firm and secure hope. He has become a high priest forever, it says, in the order of Melchizedek. Years ago, I heard about an archaeological discovery in the Mediterranean Sea. They found some anchor points in one of the harbors that would have been used for maritime pilots. Smaller boats would carry lines that were attached to two of these points to a ship maybe that was struggling to get into the harbor because the winds and the waves were against it. They would attach these lines to the ship's anchor. Then they would bring those anchors into the harbor and attach those to those anchor points in the harbor. Then effectively, when they would draw those anchors in, guess what they did? They drew the ship safely into harbor. I wonder if Paul had that imagery in mind here. Whether he did or not, even landlubbers like me can get the point. Jesus, like a maritime pilot, left the safe harbor of heaven to venture into the storms of this fallen world. After laying down his life for us, he ascended back to heaven, leaving us a lifeline of faith, anchored firmly in heaven with Him. By virtue of what He has done, we'll reach safe harbor too. Our anchor, see, is both firm and secure. That's what the writer says. So we sometimes think about hope like a pipe dream, but we're told this hope is firm and secure. That sounds a bit redundant. You say, well, it's firm and it's secure. Well, if it's firm, isn't it secure? Well, it is building upon that idea. And the text actually explains it a bit further why he's using these two words. Because earlier in verse 18 of the text, we read that God did something he did not have to do. But he did it because we needed for him to do it. So that we'd be certain that he would deliver on his promises, the God of heaven who cannot lie, see, he can't lie, still confirmed his promise with an oath. Now, if God says something, it's true. And if God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. He doesn't need to make an oath. He doesn't need to do like many of us might do, say, well, I swear on a stack of Bibles. Or, you know, on my mother's grave, I'm telling you it's true. We're told actually in Scripture, which is kind of interesting, we're not supposed to do that. Our integrity should be such that our yes can be yes, our no be no. We don't have to embellish. We don't have to, you know, put any kind of stipulations on it, that our integrity should stand. God's integrity certainly could stand without an oath, couldn't it? Absolutely. He did not need to do this, but he did it. Why? Though he is always faithful, he knows that his people can sometimes be faithless. That though he always keeps his promise, he knows that that's not our daily experience in life with people. It's not. We've all walked paths littered with broken promises. Promises made to us. And if we're honest, we're really honest, promises made by us that we too have broken, we haven't lived up to, we haven't kept. So it's hard for us maybe to believe that anyone can be trusted to keep his promise. Hard for us to believe just because you say so, it will be so. Hard for us to accept that sometimes. If God says it, that ought to be enough. But it is so interesting to me again, for our benefit, see it, so we can be greatly encouraged, is what it says. He promised with an oath. He affirmed the truth. Again, the rest of the verse says, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered may be greatly encouraged. See it, so we can be encouraged. That God says, listen, you ought to know I always keep my promises, but I'm promising you I'm going to keep my promise. I'm promising you I'm going to keep my promise. See, and there's that double-edged kind of anchor there then. See, it's both firm and secure. Other translations render that part about a fleeting to take hold of hope as those who have fled to Him for refuge. Fled for refuge. Fled to take hold of the hope. Fled to take refuge. One of the lines in the song is about the refuge that we find in God. That reminds me of the idea of seeking shelter in a storm. Seeking a safe place, a safe harbor in a storm. Looking for refuge. Somewhere where I can get out of this situation. Or I can find some kind of protection or safety in the midst of the situation. It kind of describes what many of us did, as the old song suggests, when we recognized our condition, the storm that we were in, the greatest storm of all. I, for one, was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. And when we recognized that, what did we do? We sought refuge. We sought a Savior, a Deliverer. Someone who could bring us out of that and into safe harbor. Whenever I'm assaulted with gale force winds or dark skies of insecurity in my life, I know where to seek sanctuary. Do you? Do you? The Hebrew writer is really trying to affirm again to the people, here is where you seek sanctuary. There's an anchor of hope that no matter how rough your storm is, no matter how bad things are, there's an anchor of hope for the soul. So I identify with the words of David in Psalm 46. First three verses, he writes, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Now listen to this. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, I will not fear. Is the idea, right? I won't fear. Why? Because God is my refuge. He's my strength. He's my help in trouble. He is. David believed that with all of his heart, and he had experienced it time and time again. See, David's world at times seemed like it was falling apart. Can anybody identify with that? Like your sense of security, it's gone. The firm foundations of your life, whatever those were that you were depending upon, that you were leaning on, you were standing upon, just crumble beneath you. And you think, wow, God is your refuge in those times of trouble. See, it's not that the trouble goes away. See, He's the present help in the trouble. See, notice what He says there. It's not that the storm ceases. No, the storm is going on. The very earth giving way and the process. And you're in the middle of that. You're standing in the midst of that. The mountains are falling. See the image? It's not like, well, that could happen to me. No, it's happening. Though it seems to me in my life, everything is falling apart. Everything I've ever counted upon is falling apart. Yet, God is my refuge. He's my strength. He's my help in this trouble. See, David didn't ask for the storm to be halted or the winds to be calmed or the waves to be stilled. No, he just said, God's my refuge. In the middle of the tempest that threatened to destroy him, can he be that for us too? Absolutely. Absolutely. And the reality is, whether we recognized it or not, he has been. How many of you have been through some pretty bad storms in your life? Come on, just hands up. How many of you have been through some rough storms, some rough waters, some really difficult times where things that you really counted on, your plans, they just fell apart? How many have been through that? Maybe that's you right now. God's a refuge of strength and help to get us through those things, to sustain us in the midst of them, and get us through. More about that in a minute. So no matter what storms may come, be they hurricanes, monsoons, typhoons, tornadoes, firestorms, floods, or those of a different nature, of course, like illnesses, death, financial ruin, betrayal, brokenness. I talk to people sometimes about this truth that God is telling us today in His Word, and they might say, well, Pastor Steve, that's easy for you to say. You know, your life's obviously been nothing but blue skies and rainbows. They don't know me well. I'm not saying that the things I've been through or am going through are worse than the things you're going through or have gone through or compare equally with those things at all or surpass those things. I'm not saying that. But I've learned the truth of this in my storms, in my trials, in my difficulties. See, and in those problems, in those situations, it's not got to do with where we hunker down to ride it out, but with whom we run to for refuge. Our Lord can be our ever-present help in the storm. Our refuge to surround us with His love, encircle us, and to fill us, and this is the big deal, to fill us with hope. To fill us with hope. He can keep us from drifting. He can keep us afloat. More importantly than that is He can keep us even in the midst of the calamity where we're not overwhelmed, drowned in it. It's a great metaphor, but is it our illustrating principle in our life? Is it something, again, that we're living? When waves of worry overwhelm, where's our hope? Where is it? Is it just in the adage that, well, this too will pass? I hear that from people. You know, they say, well, this too will pass. I've been through difficult times and it'll pass eventually. But it might seem like this storm is going a lot longer than I expected. And I do believe it's going to pass. But I don't know how much longer I can take it. I don't know how much longer I can weather it. But I do believe it's going to pass. The real issue isn't, again, you know, resting in this storm will pass. It will. Hear me, dear ones. It will. It will. But the issue, again, is where do we seek and find real refuge in the midst of the storm? Though raging all about us, see, it will not be able to rob us of peace because we have this hope as an anchor. Now, listen carefully. Remember I said it will pass? But it may not pass before I do. I'm going to say that again. The storms, all of them will pass, but not until I get to safe harbor. He may get me through this, but there's going to be storms. And some storms, we're going to have to ride out maybe the rest of our lives. I'm just being honest, dear ones. May have to. We don't want to, but some storms may not pass until we do. But when we do pass, the storm's going to be over. Amen? The storm's going to be over. Every storm will be gone. Be endless peace forever. How do we, though, hold on with just that knowledge? We need to have that knowledge. We need to keep our eyes focused there, our hearts focused there. But how do we do that? How do we find the comfort in the storm? How do we hold on to this anchor of hope? How do we do that? Well, we got to keep our lifeline of faith firmly attached to the anchor, number one. It occurred to me that so much a time when I really start getting worried and stressed and I lose sight of the hope, it's because my heart isn't with the anchor, it's with the lifeline. My faith sometimes is weak. And I look at my faith and I think, oh man, I'm not so sure. Then I need to get my eyes off the lifeline of my faith and get it on the anchor and put my faith in Him. And His promise to me is stronger than anything. And it will not be broken. We'll talk more about that in the future. But yes, keep our lifeline of faith attached to the anchor. Focused on the anchor. Praying to the Lord. Holding tight to His promises. See, He promised, and He promised again. He promised, and what did He promise you? What did He promise you? He promised you if you put your faith in Jesus, the anchor of hope, that you will reach safe shore. That you will reach the harbor of heaven. You will. You will. Not by your strength, by His. See, He is my strength in time of trouble. Right? He is. So we need to pray, hold tight to those promises, keep our focus, yeah, where it belongs, not on us, not on the storm, not even on our lifeline, but on Him and trusting in Him. Jesus has gone on before. That's the image. See, He's gone on before. That's what the text said. He's gone on before us. What does that mean? He's made that journey. He's going to safe harbor already. He's there at the right hand of God. He is on the throne. And He will bring us to Him. He'll do that. Though He is compared in our text to the elusive Melchizedek. Man, we could spend some time on Melchizedek. There's a Bible study and a half right there. We spend a lot of time. He's kind of elusive figure. He's a high priest that's different than the Aaronical or Levitical priesthood. He stands alone that way. No one knew of his ancestry, where he came from exactly, who his folks were, or what happened to him after. So he stands alone there, unique. And that's the comparison. But that's kind of where the comparison ends. Because Jesus is a high priest like no other, including Melchizedek. There's similarities, but not where it comes to the reality of our need. He does more than just plead our case. The Hebrew writer, matter of fact, explains in chapter 7, the very next chapter, verse 24 through 27, more about this. Now, I want you to, it'll be on the overhead for you. Look at this. Because Jesus lives forever, He has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, He's able to, say this with me, you can read it there. He's able to do what? Save completely those who come to God through Him. For He always lives to intercede for them. Verse 26 says, such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, He does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for His own sins and then for the sins of the people. It says then, He sacrificed for the sins of all, once and for all, when He offered Himself. You see why we have hope that's firm and secure? God's promises, but His promise proven in Christ. His promise sealed with the sacrifice of His Son. He says, I love you. Prove it, God, I have. I said it. I sealed it. I sent my Son. He gave His life for you. And He's there. He sacrificed Himself for all, for you, once and for all. Doesn't need to sacrifice again and again. His sacrifice is sufficient. He can save us, therefore, completely. I love that. Completely. I've talked to some people who have some ideas about what the hereafter is going to be and how they're going to be when they face God at judgment, and they feel like they're going to earn it somehow if they're good enough. And some I've heard people say, you know what, if I'm just hanging by my fingernails in heaven, you know, if that's as far as I get in, or they just let me in, you know, just up to the gate, at least I'm not, you know, the other place, that'll be okay with me. Your good deeds aren't even going to get you that far. It's only the sacrifice of Jesus. Don't put your faith in yourself or your works, but in the finished work of Christ on the cross. That's able to save us completely, fully. Not one foot in, one foot out, not on the fringes, completely. He'll fulfill His promise. That's good news, amen? That's great news. Is your hope firm and secure today? Is it in Jesus? Is your anchor set? If it is, hey, you may not be there yet, but you're home free. Hallelujah. Safe harbor will be yours. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank You in Jesus' name for the name above all names. Father, for Your love, for Your goodness, for Your faithfulness. We sometimes sing, great is Your faithfulness, and it is so great. It's awesome. It's incredible. God, You make promises, You keep them. You don't give up on us. You don't cast us off. You don't say, you know what, I'm done with You. No, God, You're faithful. Thank You for that. Thank you for Jesus, our anchor of hope, firm and secure. May we rejoice in that. May we praise you for that reality, that truth this morning. But may we tell others who are going through some difficult times where they need to have their anchor set. Because though we can't always see their storms being removed, they can find peace in the storm. And they can find hope for the future, eternal, secure hope. Thank you. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.